and fear. Well, him in my soul.
Let the people of God say amen again. I don't think y'all thought I had that in me, did you? God is a God of completion. He's a God of order. God doesn't start something with you and not finish it out. I guarantee you that. Paul would remind us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, we ought to be confident in one thing. That he who has begun a good work in you, he's faithful and he will see it through to the day of completion. I just am overwhelmed with who God is. You know, you attempt to articulate your movement in life. You attempt to set goals and plans and directions. But then God shows up, and he sees something you don't see, and he rearranges some things. And for me this morning, I'm just convinced that he's just God. And whether I like what he does or not, he's still righteous in what he does. And I'm glad God don't let me do what I want to do. Because if I was able to do what I wanted to do, I probably wouldn't be standing in this pulpit this morning. Because I have certain things that I think are better for me than what he has in store for me. And I'm starting this way because I was telling my wife coming down here, I said, it's amazing. I've been and we've been at Hawthorne now for 2 years this month. And all I could say, praise God, man. All I could say was, God, I'm glad you are in control. Because I had other plans for myself and my family, but God said, no, you don't see what I see. Since I've been at Hawthorne, I've become better and not bitter. I'm learning more. I'm thriving to know more about my God, and I'm convinced God had everything to do with that. And so I want to share something with you this morning from the Word of God. The title of the lesson is, Trust God's Process. It's easy for us to say we trust God, but when the rubber meets the road, as they say, it's a whole nother story. If I had asked you this morning, do you trust God, you would tell me yes. But if I would further ask, do you trust God in every facet of your life? You may perhaps would say yes. And if you're still holding on and you're able to say yes, if I were to continue to ask, do you trust him in the good times? You would tell me yes. But if I ask you, do you trust him when everything has gone south? When all is bad and there's no option in sight for you, do you trust him? You may tell me yes, and you may tell me no. But I want you to see that as believers, we got to trust God's process. You may not like what God does when he does what he does, but I guarantee you he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for you. In our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, I don't plan on being long, but you know how I do. But in our text in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse number 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us. Again, that is our physical fathers. And the Bible said they did it for their own pleasures. But then the Hebrew writer shifts and says, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If life's going to be good, you're going to have to trust God's process. If life at the end is going to have been meaningful as you've matriculated through, you're going to have to have trusted God's process. When all the stuff explodes around you, there's no options, there's no variables you can manipulate, and you're going to have peace at that moment, you're going to have to trust God's process. I know it's hard to say that we could always trust him, but I'm going to go out on a limb to say I think we can always trust him. That is, if our desire to see good days is a true desire, then we'll trust him. Because we'll understand, like Jeremiah would position us to believe and understand, that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own footsteps. On our best day, we could never do what God does. Amen. All of us in here who would quote unquote call yourself spiritual, if we all got together spiritually, we could still never do the process and the job of God himself. He's God. His infinite wisdom reaches beyond human comprehension. And if you're not careful, you will say you trust God. And in actuality, because you sold yourself a bill of goods thinking that you can do it on your own, you really trust you and your ability. And truth be told, we need to trust more of his ability and leave our ability alone. Y'all still with me? I just want to make some things clear this morning before we go any further, because I'm quick to say I trust God. But then when stuff starts getting hard and rough, and I have a few options in my pocket that I think can pull me out of that rough and hard time, I try to pull them out and handle some business, and then I mess it all up, and then I'm like, well, I do trust you, God. What happened? But in actuality, it was never that God did anything except for the fact, but sit there and wait on me to do my own thing and realize and recognize I needed him to do what I needed to do. Is that all right? Is this making any sense to anybody? Trusting God's process. Over the past three Sundays, we've been on a journey, church, being exposed to the role of the Spirit in our lives. As the Spirit's presence has been confronting, correcting, and counseling, we've been encouraged by his touch. We are wise to remember in the chastening of the Lord, there is no whistle required. No matter what we do is what I'm saying, our God will never yell at us. He'll never belittle us or make us feel less than we are. Furthermore, he will correct us with a hand of mercy and grace, encouraging, motivating, and guiding us to a life of righteousness. As temptation, trials, and even the storms of life rage, we can be sure that we have a God who is willing and is able to provide us with what we need. As believers, we are instructed by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12 to keep our heads up, hold them high. No matter what we do, regardless of what things look like, or no matter how deep in sin we think we are, we're never in too deep that God can't save us. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. But after such an encouragement to embrace the chastening of the Lord, we are left with our involvement as well as our response to his hand of chastening. I'm convinced in our text this morning we can be sure of what God will do. But the deeper thought is, what will we do? The Hebrew writer tells us again in verse 10 and 11 that the chastening of God is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. He further gives us insight that we are only victorious when we go through trusting the process of God to its fullest. How about us this morning? Will we trust that God can and will provide? Or greater than that, will we trust the process of God and that by which God does. I'm convinced that as believers, we got a long way to go with our trust in God. We always want the good side of God, but we never want the chastening hand of God. For the past two Sundays, we've been talking about how good God is and how he comes along and pulls us up out of the stuff that we're in. And sometimes we find ourselves back in the same stuff that we were in because we didn't fully trust the process of God. Feeling as though what God was doing was inadequate enough. It wasn't adequate enough to position us to where we think we should be. Hang on with me, church. Hold fast. Because sometimes you want God to do something for you that's going to do more harm to you than it will do good. Sometimes you want God to be that musician and pull a rabbit out the hat for you, when in fact you don't need a rabbit nor a hat. You need some strength. You need some encouragement, some confidence, some hope and assurance that if you stand firm on what you don't have, he'll provide the things that not only do you need, but the things that you want. Do I got anybody out there who's trying to trust God? Sometimes you got to trust God when stuff doesn't make sense to you. See, when you can't figure out the bills because there's more going out than that's coming in, you're going to have to trust God's process on that. And I know most of the negative balance that we do have is due to our own fleshly desires and wants, but God can handle those things too. But the question arises is, do you trust God enough to handle it? Or do you need to manipulate a few variables? Do you need to work some extra overtime over the overtime? Y'all quiet out there. Or is it possible that God needs to come along and take a few things from you? Allow you to see that because of what you have is because of him. And regardless if you have it or not, he's still going to be consistent and faithful to you. I'm talking about trusting God's process. Because all of us wants to live the good, victorious, abundant life. But that doesn't always consist of stuff. Sometimes that consists of you being in a one-room shack, peaceful, thankful to God that you can turn on the light switch and ain't got the light to match like you had to last week. I'm talking about dependency and true understanding that God's in control whether I have stuff or not. And I don't know about you. Unfortunately, truth be told, if we ever get to a position, which is coming, where persecution hits the church and all of a sudden we start losing stuff. Because we don't trust God's process, we're going to be scattered. We ain't going to know what to do. Depression is going to be higher. Suicide's going to soar. Amen. Homicide's going to soar. We're going to start stealing from each other. Don't get quiet on me. Everybody wants the good sermons. I know you came for a visual aid this morning. Well, let's come for the word of God to be your visual aid. Trust God's process. Truth be told, you are the visual aid this morning. Your life in total harmony and dependency and dependability on God is the visual. If I'm going to trust God, then I'm going to have to trust all of God. I can't settle for just a piece of him because he makes me feel good. I can't just take just a little bit, you know, when it comes time for prayer meeting so I can get my desire through. Y'all quiet out there, amen. I'm going to have to take all of God. And truth be told, when it's all said and done, if we were to have some of them Hall of Famers out of Hebrews chapter 11 talk to us this morning, you know, if we were to allow some of the patriarchs who've gone on before us talk this morning, they tell us you need to trust God's process. But I think they'd also tell us that it wasn't pleasant along the journey, that they didn't always, you know, trust God at his word. And sometimes they fail and they falter simply because they relied on human ability instead of divine ability. Am I helping anybody this morning? Sometimes you got to tell your stuff, I don't need you. I need God. Sometimes your flat screen TV is more of your trust in God than God does. I know that hurts a little bit. Some of y'all got some nice TVs at your house. But when your TV becomes more important, when you got to DVR something before you get to Bible class instead of meditating before you get to Bible class, something's wrong with that picture. I'm trying to help somebody. True trust and ability. Because what happens if your power goes out? How you going to watch your TV then? And some of you smart folk, well, I have a generator. Well, if the generator happens to break on you, now what you gonna do? I'm hoping and praying that somewhere down the line through this word this morning, we'll be more trusting in the God of heaven. Because at the end of the day, Solomon would say, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding, but in always acknowledge him and let him direct your path. Sometimes God got to cut off your TV so you can trust him a little bit more. Sometimes your show got to go off the air. Y'all quiet, amen, so that you can trust him. Can I bring Joseph into the picture this morning? Can I help you see Joseph and his position and the process by which God had to take him through? I know you've heard the story over and over, but I just want to drop some spiritual nuggets off to you real quick. I want to give you something to hold on to when ain't nothing else to hold on to. And by the way, when ain't nothing there to hold on to, hold on to nothing. Because where there's nothing, there's something.
Yes.
His name is Jesus. He knows what it's like when you don't have. Yes. He knows what it's like to be at the bottom of bottom. Yes. He knows what it's like to be underneath the underneath. Yes. He knows what it's like to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with all griefs. Yes. He knows what it's like when folk hide their face because there's nothing beautiful to desire of him. But just in case you didn't know, we're back in Isaiah 53 right along in there. Yes. But he reminds us that he'll be willing to be wounded for the transgressions of his people. Why? Because he wants them to trust God. Jesus had to trust God. I don't know about you. I wouldn't have went to Calvary for us. Just wouldn't have did it. Some of y'all don't like me now. Why in the world would I die for someone who don't like me? Some of y'all don't appreciate some of the stuff a brother say. Some of y'all don't like when I shouted last Lord's Day. Some, amen, y'all quiet. Why would I die for you? But see, when you trust in God's process, it ain't about you. Yeah. It's about him. Yeah. And there's going to be some moments where things aren't comfortable. When life is in disarray, you're going to have to experience some pain and suffering. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, John 16:33, because I have overcome the world. Nothing you're going to go through, I don't have an answer for. Amen. Amen. And sometimes the answer is silently suffering. I want to say I'm where God wants Stan to be, but I know I'm not. Because just as sure as I preach this sermon this morning, devil's at my door tonight. Yeah. Truth be told, he'll probably be at the back door on the way as everybody's walking out. And I'm okay with that. He's got a job to do. But what I want to leave out of here today is knowing what my job is, what my role is, the process that I'm involved in, where do I fit in there? And it all comes down to, again, your level of trust in God. You can't breathe on your own. God does that. Take a breath. You had to think about that one. What about the last 50 you took just a minute ago before I brought attention to your breathing? God did that. Truth be told, left breathing to you and me, we'd lose it on a good sunny day because the barbecue's coming out and we're so excited about having a good time that we're forgetting to breathe. Trust God's process. Know and understand your role when it comes to the process. Is that all right? Yeah. Three ideas I want to create this morning. Do you trust God at the start? Do you trust God in the middle? And will you trust God in the end? Because truth be told, everybody starts out good. How many of y'all here love the Lord? Woo! How many know he's good? How many know he's able? Now, let's blow up your engine. Let's take some money out your account. Amen. Let's give you an unexpected bill that you wasn't expecting. Let's cause some sickness in your life. Let's take away some of your houses. Let's make you eat beans for a week with no rice and no chicken. Do you trust God? It's easy to trust him on the front end. Joseph, we know the story of who he is. He had some dreams. He told his brothers about the dreams, and they got to hating and being upset at it. And while I'm there, don't hate because God shows somebody something he don't show you. Truth be told, he's probably showing them because they trust him more. I'm learning how it is when you got to eat rice for a week. And all you say is, thank you. Amen. Sound like a little hawk. He must be wanting to preach this. But you preach over at Figueroa. I'm preaching here. But what is it like when all you have is commodities? And those aren't anything that you can pick up. Somebody gives you those things. I got any old school folk in the house? How many of y'all remember commodities? That's like three or four of y'all. Let me put my glasses on and make sure I can see. Who in here remember commodities? Uncle Sam gives you some goodness, don't he? How many of y'all remember that government cheese? Look, now some of y'all said, oh, that's what commodities is. Okay, yeah. Amen. How many of y'all remember them big old bags of beans? How many of y'all remember that can? And in that can was meat. It was that good. Yeah, it's pork, mama. Amen. I remember. And it didn't specify but one thing, meat. Looked like somebody took a black permanent marker and just went whoop, 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 me. Next. Will you trust God when life gets like that? When the bottom falls out and all else is gone, do you trust that God's still there? We want to say, yes, we do. And I think Joseph did to a degree, but Joseph started having some issues. Brothers got mad. Who he think he is, age 17, come telling us we're going to bow down to him. I don't care what your dream said. We ain't bowing down to you. Matter of fact, you go on home to the house and do what daddy needs you to do. This grown folk stuff out here. We tend sheep out here. This is man's work. Take your little narrow behind to the house. Truth be told, daddy said, you know what? Go check on your brothers. I know they probably up to no good. Go check on them down there and check them. See what's going on. Now, to all places to send them to Shechem. So they're down there. They see him coming, Joseph, that is. Now they're upset. Well, now's our chance to kill him. Let's get him. You know, this dreamer boy. Let's kill him off. Then we'll be sure that we'll never bow down to him. Bible said they conspired this. But Reuben, the oldest brother, said, no, let's not kill him. Matter of fact, let not that blood be on us. Let's aspire to do something different. Let's throw him down in that pit over there. Do you trust God on the start? Sometimes life will deal you some cards and you'll wind up at the bottom first. Y'all know what it's like to be at the bottom? Amen. Someone ought to say start and follow the bottom. Now we're here. Somewhere down the line, you got to appreciate what God is doing for you. You got to thank God that he's in the works of moving things about for your life. It's for your benefit. Because you know the story of Joseph. He winds up in the pit. Then they turn around after he winds up in the pit, after having stripped him of his raiment, his wonderful coat of many colors, or robe of many colors. Take it back to daddy to inspire about a lie. Some wild beast done got him. Dad cried all night long. Didn't want no comfort, no consoling, nothing. He was upset. He was weary. He was sad that his boy was gone. Little did he know he was just in a pit. Truth be told, came time for that pit. Brothers knew they could make a few dollars. Pulled him up out the pit and sold him into slavery. Talking about what it's like to be at the bottom. Trusting God at the start of everything. I know we encourage folk to come to Christ, but sometimes we forget to tell them it's hard when you get off in this. We neglect to tell them that the devil is gunning for you. He wants you back to where you were. But they also need to be encouraged, like you and I should be encouraged, that we have a God who's willing and he's able to sustain us and do all things. Will you trust God in the pit? Will you trust him at the start? When all around you is down, when it's all jacked up, when the odds are not in your favor, trust God. Run to Psalms division 91 real quick. I want to read just a few verses and we'll move on. Joseph gets sold off into slavery. Now he's headed out. Goes down into a prison. Gets out that way. A countryman finds him and takes him on and buys him naturally. And because God, the Bible said, was with Joseph, this countryman made Joseph ruler of all that he had. He allowed him to take care of everything simply because God was with him. Notice, people, you get plotted against by your own family, Lord Jesus, there's a sermon off in there somewhere. Your own family hating on you. I turn this way. Any of y'all got some family just be hating on you? And they don't see what you see. They don't know what you know. They don't know what you've been experiencing. They don't know you've been in the pit. Oh, come on, y'all. So much so that Joseph now, because he's been doing what God asked him to do, God grants favor. He has favor upon him, allows him to take care of everything. Psalms division 91, right about verse number 1, the Bible says what, Don?
He who dwells in the secret place.
He who what?
Dwells in the secret place.
Read.
Of the Most High.
Read.
Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Read.
I will say of the Lord.
I'll do what?
I will say of the Lord.
Read.
He is my refuge.
He's my what?
And my fortress. He is my refuge and my fortress.
When you don't have nothing, you got everything you need. I'm coming to the conclusion, the more we have of stuff, the less we have of God.
Amen.
Simply because our now trust becomes in our ability to get the stuff, to manage, you know, the moments in our mind and the things that we have of desires to be met and fulfilled. Amen. As long as your job is going good, you drop God a few dollars, you get a few prayers in. Amen. You come to church when you feel like it. Amen. You shout when you want to shout. You get upset when folk don't say what you think they should say. When they do something out of the ordinary, you tripping about it. Y'all quiet out there. But truth be told, if we strip everything you have and all you got left is God, you're the most peaceful person. You're the most happiest person. You doing all the hugging when three hugs. You loving on folks. You the one picking up paper around the church. You in the bathrooms cleaning the stall. Quiet, amen. And you the one that's on the front pew every Sunday asking God to help you. But as soon as God give you what you ask for, now it's not about God. It's about you. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes up in here, but let me tell you this. Look, I've gotten at a point right now where I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss him. So if he has to take everything I got for me to see him and trust him, God, I don't want you to do this, but handle your business. Please save my soul. David said, he's my refuge. But he also says in verse 1, the one who hides in the what?
Secret place.
Do you know God's there when you don't think he's there? Are you listening? When you think there ain't nothing else left, there's God. He stays consistent. He never leaves you. Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you, so that you may have boldness and be able to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What shall man do to me? God's in control of my life. Even if I'm in the pit, God's still there with me. David on numerous occasions would say, Lord, get me up out of the pit. The translation, the verse we read out of Psalm Division 3 this morning for responsive reading. David was literally saying at one point, get my enemies. Slap them on one side of the face and slap them on the other. That's my kind of language right there. Slap them on the other side of the face. Take your strong fist and bust their teeth in. That's from the message, I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to get violent, for me anyway. Y'all do what y'all need to do. I'm trying to recover from some past sins, and sometimes a brother be a little violent with you. I'm just saying. But my point is this. God's still there with you. He can handle your weariness. He can handle your mindset. He can handle the things that are troubling and bothering you. He's sitting in that place waiting on you to trust him. And sometimes in your trusting God, he has to allow some stuff to happen. Because when you trust God, it may not look good sometimes on the front. But it ends up wonderful on the latter end. I got to keep moving. But my second idea, will you trust him in the middle? Will you trust him in the pen? Because you know what happened to Joseph. Joseph, no sooner than he gets over there with the countrymen, you know, because Joseph was a good-looking dude, amen, the countryman's woman wanted him. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
I kind of like that myself. I think I'm pretty good-looking. Amen. I think somebody won't stand. Can't have me. I'm married. Halisa, love you. Yeah, right. That's who I'm married to, I'm just saying. But while I'm here, Joseph says, no, woman, I can't do that. Matter of fact, your husband, he trusts me.
Yeah, yeah.
He trusts me to a point that he allows me to rule over everything in your household.
Yeah.
And he's given me access to everything except you.
Uh-huh.
You know why? You are his wife. So, no, 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 I know what you want, but no, no, no. Here's my point. Sometimes when our trust in God is there and we're trying to trust God, the devil sends some stuff. And he sends it to try to create for us an avenue to sin. Because he don't want us under the hand in the trustful hand, excuse me, of God. Because he knows that if we're under the hand of God, he can't touch us.
Yeah.
I wish I had a church. I'd preach that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You can't touch this.
Uh-huh. Come on.
I belong to God. You can't touch this.
Yeah.
You can't do except what God lets you do.
Right.
Come on, y'all. Yeah, I'm trying to help somebody here. When you trust God, he has you hemmed in from the front, from the back, and side to side.
Uh-huh.
God has you in such a position that the devil himself, he wants you so bad because he know he can't get you. And it's up to you to make the decision whether to trust God or look at the other stuff.
Yeah.
Trust the other stuff. Had Joseph slipped off in the darkness, that brother would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
But instead, he got in much trouble because he did the right thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do the right thing and suffer the consequence of doing the right thing. No sooner than the woman knew she couldn't get, she played hard to get, and then got God to get him. Are you listening to me?
Uh-huh.
She created a lie.
Yeah.
She told her husband and the other servants out the door, look, he came in here to lay with me and get with me, and look, he done left out of here naked with no robe on, because I called it, in there for a year, and you came to my rescue. Now, why would you do that to a man of God who's trying to trust in God? That's the devil, people.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? See, sometimes all that glitters ain't gold.
Yeah.
All that looks like what you want ain't what you need. You got to learn to let some stuff alone.
Yeah.
If God has you in a certain position, you're there for a reason.
Yeah.
So you know what happened to Joseph.
Uh-huh.
Husband came home, got upset.
Yep.
Hey, man, I ain't tripping. You come talk to holler at my wife. Look.
It's on.
Look, you remember that violence we were talking about earlier? I'm really working on some stuff. I really am. But you got to pray for me because they have these wonderful little cards that we fill out, you know, for responses. And sometimes, you know, I have these filled out already just waiting to date them. Amen. Okay, that was just a real moment from Stan. Okay, back to the text. Amazingly enough, you find Joseph going forward with what God has in store.
Yes.
He trusts him even when he gets sent to prison.
Yeah.
But what's amazing about it is when you trust God, his hand never leaves you. Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on.
The fact that he goes to prison, that the prison guard sees that God is with him and puts him in charge of the prison ministry. Come on, child. I'm talking about trusting God at the start and at the middle. Let me help you with some stuff. Y'all all right out there?
Yeah, yeah.
When everything is at a standstill, when all of your options, check this out, have been locked up, when your mind, body, and soul have been arrested, will you trust God? Because sometimes you don't have no options. Sometimes you're locked up and they won't let you out. Sometimes you have to sit there and all you can do is ask God to help you.
Yeah.
Will you trust him? Sometimes you got to suffer wrong when you ain't done no wrong. Do you still trust him? See, I'm kind of hanging on the end and the side of things that, God, if I got to suffer for your sake, praise you.
Yeah.
Praise your name.
Yeah.
And in suffering, I'm going to thank you that I can suffer for you. Amen. I don't know too many folk I suffer for. Okay, let me help you. Come close. I'll suffer for Halise and Stan.
Right.
If I got to work 6-7 jobs, I'm going to work 6-7 jobs and handle my business.
Amen.
I love them both.
Amen.
But Blow Joe off the street, who I know is able to work, yeah, man, just help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Suffer for you? Man, please. Do what I do. Go get you 6 or 7 jobs and work it out. Amen.
Amen.
But God, he loves us. He's different. He's willing to suffer for us even though we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
You know how I know? He came down from heaven.
Yeah.
Died upon a cross for you and me.
Yeah.
And notice this chain reaction with Joseph. He's willing to suffer. And I'll just throw this in passing. This don't cost you nothing. Genesis, five chapters God takes, and he talks about creation. But it's interesting, in Genesis, he takes 13 chapters and talks about Joseph. Wonder why? I'll tell you why. So many similarities of Joseph pointing to Jesus. Being willing to suffer when you, come on, church,
yeah,
you ain't done nothing wrong. Being willing to get into the pit, they put you in the pen to get to the palace. Come on, church.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to appreciate the process of God. The process of God makes you better and not bitter. You leave up out of here stronger than you were before you started going through the process.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm planning on trying to exercise a little bit more, trying to get a little better. Amen. I ain't feeling the start of the process. Amen. I've started tomorrow. But my prayer is that when I start, I continue to remain consistent. But sometimes when you're down in that pit, when it's dreary, when it's dark, when it's cold, when it's wet, and ain't nobody seem like they're down there with you, makes it hard for a preacher.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it is that you have a God who understands.
Yeah.
And he's willing to partner with you to get you through the things that you need to get through if you trust him.
Yeah.
So you find Joseph in the penitentiary. But yet there's a baker there. There's a cupbearer.
Yep.
He interprets their dreams. We know the story.
Yeah.
As a result of interpreting the dreams, amazingly, Joseph asked the cupbearer, remember me when you go tell Pharaoh.
Yeah, yeah.
When you know you get restored and get back to being his cupbearer, remember me. Well, what happens?
He forgot. Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Now, my trust would have been a little rough and shaky right along there.
Yeah.
Now, I just told you a divine providence of God, how your life going to get better, and you ain't going to put a good word in for me?
Yeah.
Amen. Come close. You ever did something for somebody and helped them along, and then when it came your time to get some help, they couldn't help you or didn't want to help you?
Yeah,
they were short $5 last week, or $20 this week, and they got $100 and they $5, but they don't want to help you with a few dollars?
Yeah.
Sometimes that stuff will jack you up. You get a little weary.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I start getting upset.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't remember? Amen. Amen. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning. But I'm talking about trusting God. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. You have to trust God when don't nobody else remember you.
Yeah.
When don't nobody else trust in the God that you trust in. When everybody else has left you and forsaken you, you got to trust God. You know the story. He's down there for a little bit longer. As a result, all of a sudden, now Pharaoh got some dreams. He's come up on the shore of the Nile, and they're fat and plump and looking good. Then seven others come up. They scraggly, all jacked up, nasty looking, just look tore up. Kind of look like folk look when you in sin. You know how you look when you just tore up. Amen. In your head and what you see based upon what your mind is telling you, you look real good. But we know you struggling. We know you're going through it. Amen. Come on. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever looked in the mirror and saw what you didn't want to see?
Yeah.
Amen. And you had to ask the Lord to help you with what you saw?
Uh-huh.
It's all right. Some of y'all will get that later on. But my point is this. He sees these things, and he sees these seven cows who are struggling consume the plump cows. He wakes up in haste. Then he goes back to sleep after that. Has another dream. Seven ears budding, and then seven ears that looked plush and plump, but then the other seven that sprung up looked all scrungly and scraggly. And those consumed the plush and plump 7 ears. And as a result of this, he calls out, Pharaoh does, I need all the magicians and everyone in the land. I need some help with what I just dreamed. And lo and behold, could nobody tell him what was going on, except Joseph. I'm talking about trusting God. Now Joseph has an opportunity to show his trust in God. So he does what can't nobody else do.
Yeah.
tell folk about how to trust God.
Yeah.
See, when you trust God and folk don't trust God, and you keep trusting God when it gets rough, pretty soon them folk, amen, who ain't been trusting God as you've been trusting God, need some help. And now you can go in confidently because you've been trusting God and you've been hanging with God, and God has given you the things you need to sustain you, and you can deliver the things to people to sustain them. Is this making any sense to you? He goes in to Pharaoh, Joseph does, and tells him, check it out. Few days shortly, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And then following that 7 years, there's going to be 7 years of famine. Check this out. May I suggest to you that you store up during the plenty time so that you can have what you need when the famine comes.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm talking about trust, people. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, we need somebody with wise counsel and one who understands how to lord over and take care of all of this stuff. Find me somebody, please. Well, matter of fact, ain't nobody really, Joseph, but you.
Uh-huh.
Check it out. You know why? Because you trust.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? And because you trust God,
yeah,
I'd have nobody greater to have on my team, second in command, amen, to handle my business so I know I always have. So I tell you what, because you trusted your God so much, now I trust
you.
And I tell you what, all the servants and folk that I have, they're at your disposal. Matter of fact, you tell them, I got to quit. You tell them what to do. I'm talking about from the pit to the pen, not to the palace. All of a sudden, Joseph get up out of there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He ain't in no dark, dreary dungeon no more. See, the bad days are gone.
Yeah.
The sorrowful days is gone.
Yeah.
That ain't no sunshine. No, them days are gone, man.
Yeah.
Them days are gone. Now, all of a sudden, you smiling because I'm happy. Look, you get the fact that because you don't have, you have everything that you need. Sometimes you got to go through to get to. Sometimes you got to experience loss to have gain. Sometimes you got to have nothing to have everything simply because of your trust in God.
Come on,
do you trust him? Do you trust God? Because at the end of the day, every one of us has a pit. Every one of us will experience the pit. And all of us, at some point when we trust God, will know what it's like to be in the palace. I got to quit. Time is gone. I wish I could tell you the rest of the story, but you already know it. But one thing I'll drop in, it's amazing that his brothers become part of that family where they're in want. And Israel, that's Joseph's daddy, tells his other boys, go over there to Egypt and buy some grain so we can eat. And the Bible says they went. And lo and behold, guess who they had to bow down to?
Joseph, because
he was governor over everything. Naturally, Joseph had some issues because he treated them roughly.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at you, Joseph. See, I like the Bible. The Bible is good. Ain't nothing wrong with being mad and angry. Can I throw a scripture? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27. Be ye angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Sometimes you just be upset with folk.
Yeah.
But don't let that hinder your movement.
Because
remember, you trust God.
Yeah.
The Bible says they bought some grain and stuff from chapter 50. I gotta fast forward. Chapter 50 of Genesis. I think it's around verse 20. Finally, Joseph has to tell them because daddy's died.
Yeah.
And they're a little scared about now Joseph taking revenge. He said, don't worry about it. I ain't tripping. Joseph said, because what you meant for evil or bad, God meant it for good. Don't you know? Check it. Check out trust. Don't you know I had to have the pit to get to the pen, to get to the palace, so that not only our family is fed, but many other families. Boy, that's some good stuff in there. But see, that's the kind of preaching you want.
Yeah.
That my life struggle is for your comfort and glory, Don. The things I go through, the things I experience that I don't like is to give you the encouragement and comfort to keep it pushing. Sometimes I'm not going to have no money, and then I'm going to get some money so I can give you some money so that you don't have to worry about not having no money. Because now you got some money. Why? I got some money. And if I got some money, and if you got some money, he got some money. And if he got some money, she... I'm talking about trust, people. True dependency on God. See, God doesn't work like you. That's why you got to trust this process. See, we'll think that we got to go out and get this job because we're educated and all this. No, no, no. Sometimes it's that person on the street who just got common sense that's going to help you. Amen. Because you're too high and mighty. You done forgot where you done come from. Amen. And you trusting more your ability than his ability. And now you've been enabled so someone can make you able. I got to quit. If you're here this morning, not a believer, we want to encourage you, trust God. Some stuff ain't going to make sense to you. Look here, there's some things you going to still not understand. It's okay. Trust God. He understands. He says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. As far as the heaven from the earth, so my thought and ways. You're not going to know everything. And that's trust God's process. Many believe this morning. We've been where you are. We know what it's like. We're here now to help you on your journey. I just got to throw my testimony out real quick. I'm going to shout and I'm done. But I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like being young in the ministry when church folk don't have care about you. When you have a desire to want to do God's will, but because you ain't got the name, you ain't got no chance. I know what it's like to have a family to feed. I'm talking about a wife. A wife that says, you know, because you have ambition, because you trust in God, I'm with you. And that blew my mind. I'm broke as old Joe Turkey riding around in a Chevy Silverado. Can't even pay the note. But she says, I'm with you. I said, man, that's God right there. So you know what I did? I trust the process. I said, cool. I got me a go, girl. We rolling. Amen. If the stuff go down, she knew we didn't have nothing in the beginning, so it ain't gonna matter if we got anything in. That's what I'm talking about. Thank God for that. But it's interesting that God would allow me to experience in my ministry the things I've experienced. The fact that I get moved from place to place. Found myself out in Kingman, Arizona. What in the world am I doing out there? No man's land. But I loved God and I loved his people. So I preached and I preached and I preached. And at the age of 18 years old, I had my own congregation. Of course, God's congregation, his people, not. But God allowed me to mount the pulpit. Some folks say you didn't know you're from a hole in the ground. Well, probably didn't. But because I trusted God, he allowed us to sustain for 5 years at that place. 100-something people baptized. Amen. Over a 2-year span. And I'm saying to myself, this has to be God. Met my wife. We got married. Started accumulating stuff. And I was just praising God. Got a house. Got another truck. Yes. A Ford, to be exact. Hey, don't hate. Don't hate. Don't hate. It's my story. You tell yours next. But all of a sudden, things changed. Started losing the truck. No biggie. God turned around and blessed us with another truck. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now all of a sudden, Halee said, well, let's have Stanley. Okay. Stanley comes on the scene. Then things really got rough. I'm saying to myself, I wish the boy could drink Walmart and Target brand formula because this infamil stuff is killing me. Yeah, man. I thought to myself, man, don't nobody else get to eat. Stanley gets to eat. I just had to downgrade my Popeyes. Had to buy all this furniture for him because I'm thinking in my head, well, if he got, you know, a crib, he don't need a playpen. I know we men think different. Just pray for us. What I'm saying is this stuff got getting harder. Lisa had the baby, stayed home. And naturally, I told her, you work if you want to. The job got stressful. And I told her, you know what? Quit. Because if it's going to make you to where you out your mind and we can't trust God together, we don't need it. She quit. Got harder. I ain't professing y'all do anything that I'm saying, but I'm just telling you my story. We trusted God. Things got rough, real rough. We lost the house. Now we out. Don't know what I'm going to do. Many nights praying, crying, asking God to help me. And he told me, just stand, stand. I know you can't see what I'm doing. Went out to Paris. I'm almost through. Thank y'all for being patient. Hope this is helping somebody. But got out there to Paris. Hawkins was out there at the time in another congregation. We ran a good spell for about 4 or 5 years out there. Then all of a sudden, you know, stuff just do what it do sometimes. Folk don't always want to hold to God and things start happening. But I still trusted God. Was out of a job again. Then I get a call from a short 5-foot-something dude from Texas. Hey, son, I just came to Hawthorne, but I'm going to be out because, you know, it's our anniversary. Can you fill in? How many of y'all remember the first day I came?
Yeah.
I'm saying to myself, I fill in. That's all I thought about was filling in. And little did I know, 2 years later, here we are. Now, I say that for no other reason nor benefit except to say this. You got to learn to trust God's process. I'm no greater than you. You're no greater than me. We're both people. We're all people. We all have struggles. We all have successes. But the true success comes when you trust. You may not always can see it, but God knows it. I'll say that again. You may not always can see it, but God knows it. And if God knows the thing to be true for you, they're going to come to fruition the way he wants them to come. And I don't care what you do, the gates of hell itself cannot stop. God wants to happen to your life. So hold your head up. Keep your head up. There's no whistle required from God. God doesn't do that to you. But you got to trust his process. It may not be what you want, but I guarantee you it's going to be what you need. You're here this morning. Maybe you're a believer falling short. Maybe you ain't been trusting God's process. Look, I know we all struggle. Raise your hand in here if it's been hard this week. Raise your hand if you need to trust God a little more. Raise your hand if you want to trust God more. Well, I'm going to be the first one to throw out my response. It's hard. It's hard. I'm trying to trust God, but there's things going on right now that I'm struggling with. I'm a little apprehensive of preaching this sermon this morning, but I'm glad I did. I started this morning in tears, but I'm glad I'm coming in and enjoying. And I want you to pray for Stanley. And pray for little Stanley. Because we need God in our lives. I know it starts with me. I know that my wife is only going to follow what I lay out. Unless it's not of God, then she knows to follow God. She'll do that. I think she'll leave me if I ever leave God, and I'm glad. You go on and hang out with God and wait for me to get my act together. If I don't, let me do me and you do you with God. But I know Stanley's watching me. Got upstairs this morning and went and sat down at the computer just to kind of look through some things real quickly. And he pulled up a chair and said, hey, Daddy, I want to study with you. And I said to myself, he's watching. And so I need help as a man. Not as a Christian, not as a preacher, as a man. To be the man that God intended for Stan to be. And then after being that man, I need him to help me be a father. Because I be wanting to blow the whistle on that little booger sometime. But I know God doesn't do that to me. Then I need to be a husband. Yeah. I need help there. I need help. Because I know what I want. But always about what I want. It's about what she wants. So I need help there. And then I need help being a preacher. It's hard. And again, I encourage us, please, let's encourage our preachers. Please. It's hard. We got to deal with a lot. And little do you know, if you know or not, when we leave here, you're still on our minds of what to do, what direction to go, asking God to lead us. And then finally, I need some help to just have stand, let stand stuff go. Because I'll be hanging on to stuff. And so partner with me this morning. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to help us trust him and trust his process. If you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing.